Well, good morning. Welcome. Psalms chapter 9, verse 1 and 2 says, Psalms, the 9th chapter, verse 1 and 2, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will send praise to your name, Most High God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome. To the Triumph Word Christian Center. I am Pastor Ed Woodis. I'm the senior pastor here, and we're so excited and so thrilled that you took time out to join us, to worship with us today. You can connect with us. We have easy ways to get a hold of us. You can connect with us at connect@twcc-sa.org. And right now, we're getting ready to receive our offering, and so we invite you to receive receive from us spiritual things, but also give you an opportunity to sow back into us your monetary or natural things. And so I'm going to Galatians chapter 3, and you can give online easily by text at 210-941-1605. Just put the dollar amount in there and text it to that number, 210-941-1605. And you follow the prompts, and that should take you through it. Or if you want to do it online, you can give it at www.twcc-sa.org. And so any gift, large or small, your generosity makes a big difference to keep our church going, keep the King gospel being preached, and the word being spread, and help to those in need all around the world. So God bless you, and thank you for your gifts of love. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, 9, and 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, 9, and 13. And I want you to get faith as you prepare to sow your offerings and your gifts of love. It says in verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same as children of Abraham. So what is the best ways to give? The best way to give is to give by faith, motivated by love. Faith works by love. And so give by faith, you're blessed with Abraham. How was Abraham blessed? Well, he's blessed not only spiritually, but also financially. And of course, verse 9, it says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You are blessed. Everybody say that with me. I'm blessed. So what does it mean to be blessed? Well, the scripture even tells us in Proverbs that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Adds no sorrow with it. Of course, the Lord doesn't. And then, of course, we know in Malachi, it talks about when we return our tithes and our offerings, that he would open the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing. That's all a part of being blessed. Blessed. Now, listen, this definition of blessed means, or the blessing means, it means the covenant of God that overrides the curse. We often say a curse is simply a blessing blocker or a blessing stopper. And so it's the covenant of God that the curse will not override, overrun, or overcome you. You're not under the curse, but you're blessed. And so it's the covenant that overrides the earth curse system. Okay, and then number two, it is the anointed of God through which divine favor flows. Favor is what you want. That's when in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, our Lord said that through Paul, the Apostle Paul, he said, and God is able to make all grace. Amplified says, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. And so we need every favor to be working on our behalf. And so it is the anointing of God through which divine favor flows. And then number three, it is the blessing is the power to produce. The power to produce. And so with the blessing, you have the power to be productive, to be not just faithful, but also fruitful. And in verse 13 of Galatians chapter 3, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing, there it is again, verse 14, of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we thank God that we are blessed. Now we always say we are blessed to what? Be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. And so God is blessing us so that we can continue to bless others. Now let's bless the Lord with our offerings. Let's take our tithes, offerings, your gifts of love. Go ahead and sow them online. And let's just say this out loud and thank God for the blessing. Say, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
That you're blessing me.
That you're blessing me.
Abundantly.
Abundantly.
My blessing.
My blessing
from you,
doesn't
depend,
on
natural circumstances,
or the world,
or the earth curse system. I thank you, Father God, for blessing me, to be a blessing. And I thank you for good measure. Pressed down, shaking together,
running over.
Men and women.
Will
give into my bosom.
In
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
All to the glory of God.
All to the glory of God.
Amen. 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 God bless you as you give. And we thank you so much for your generosity. Again, I think the numbers will be posted up for you again. You can give really easy, convenient, and secure to Triumph Ford Christian Center. God bless you as you give. Now let's get into the Word of God. And we'll bow our hearts in prayer because we want to get into, again, something about the blood, but we're going to be talking about the eternal, blood of the everlasting covenant as we receive communion today as well. So let's bow our hearts in prayer to humble ourselves to receive God's message for this morning. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to receive from heaven. We thank you for your holy written word. We thank you that your word will bring light and illumination to our hearts and minds. We thank you for understanding and concepts and truths that we haven't received before coming into our hearts, illuminating our minds. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you, Father God, for the anointing that shall destroy every yoke of bondage. We give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 13. And so we're going to talk about part one. We'll continue in these different parts of the blood of the everlasting covenant this week. So you can join us in the continuation of this powerful concept and idea from God. But in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21, it says, now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, praise the Lord, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amplified says of verse 20 and 21, it says, now may the God of peace, who is the author and the giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that ratified, sealed the everlasting agreement, covenant, or testament, strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good, that you may carry out his will, while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to whom be the glory forever and ever, to the ages of ages. Amen. And so be it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, these words, these terms, these phrases, I want to get your understanding of, because he talks about the blood, and then in Amplified, it magnifies how the blood is applied. It says it ratified and sealed the everlasting covenant. Ratified and sealed the everlasting covenant. Now, what does it mean to ratify? For just simply dictionary definition, it means to approve and sanction formally. It means to approve and sanction formally. It means to also confirm. Some synonyms of the word ratified include accredit, approbate, in other words, like a will being probated after someone's deceased. And so what is being probated? Our Jesus's last, our Lord's last will and testament. Amen.
Amen.
And so his last will and testament is being ratified now. It's being probated, approbated. It's being approved. It's being authorized. It's being clear, confirmed. It's being finalized. It's being formalized. It means to be sanctioned and warranted. Everybody say ratified.
Ratified.
So you got to see that this blood of the everlasting covenant has been ratified. It ratified it. It sealed it. It's sealed, which means simply something that confirms, ratifies, or makes secure. In other words, guaranteed or assurance. So this is the guarantee. What is the guarantee that these promises can be realized in my personal life? Because the blood has been shed. And the blood has sealed and confirmed the new covenant, the everlasting covenant in our lives. And so when we take communion today after the message, we have to see that when we take the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." It was covenant language. And he said, "This is the New Testament or New Covenant in my blood. It's been ratified. It's been sealed. It's been validated. It's been confirmed. It's a guarantee to you." That's why we can easily say this phrase, just in one of many, many blessings and benefits of the blood of Jesus and the New Testament. It means our answer prayer is guaranteed. Why can we say that? Because the blood has been shed, and it has confirmed, and it has sealed that promise of prayers to be answered for his children, God's children. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Can you see that?
Yes.
So to go deeper and further into the glory of God, there must be a further revelation and faith in the blood of Jesus. We can't just give a cursory or a casual nod and say, "Oh yes, thank you for the blood." Taking communion can't be just a religious expression or a religious activity that has no import or impact or meaning on your life. See, when our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, his first order of business was to ascend. So not just his resurrection, but his ascension is crucial to the completion of the gospel circuit. Last week we celebrate the resurrection, the cross, and the resurrection, but now we must also realize that the gospel includes the ascension. So he began to ascend to his Father and present his own blood over the heavenly mercy seat and purchase our eternal redemption and the remission of our sins.
Amen.
That needed to occur. He couldn't stay dead. He couldn't just rise and stay on the earth. He had to ascend because he had to pay the price.
Amen.
And seal the covenant, the new covenant, with his own blood. Praise the Lord. He even told Mary in John chapter 20, verse 16 and 17, Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she recognized that voice in the garden, where his tomb was. And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means, is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me." King James says, "Do not touch me. Don't grab me. Don't hug me." He said, "For I have not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Everybody say, thank God he ascended.
Thank God.
So what was Jesus ascending to do? Well, first, to enter into the heaven as our great high priest and to offer his blood as the sacrifice once and for all for our eternal redemption. He ascended the final time, as we see in scriptures, and sat down to be the mediator of the everlasting covenant. So some people think, for example, that Jesus is just sitting down with his legs crossed, watching all of us scramble and stress out in life. No, he is in present day, right now, present tense ministry. Jesus' earthly ministry is no longer, but his heavenly ministry continues forever. Jesus is in ministry today. Jesus died as a lamb, friends, but he rose as our great high priest. After he rose, he took that blood and took upon the high priestly ministry in heaven for us. He died for our transgressions, our sin-filled offenses, of God's law and standard of righteousness and iniquities and our wrongdoing, and he was raised for our justification. Romans 4:25 tells us, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Justification just simply means, justify means to declare righteous. How could God, the judge of all, declare us righteous? Because his blood washed away our sins. His blood cleansed every stain of sin. He remitted, which is kind of an accounting reference in some cases, he remitted his blood for our transgressions, for our sins, for our wrongdoing, and he blotted them all out. And Jesus gets to say, I don't see any evidence that you've ever sinned. Because he saw us through the blood. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, we have to have faith in this blood. Because the blood, we said, is not corruptible. It doesn't corrode and decay and, you know, just like our natural blood begins to rotten and decay and, you know, have all kind of issues with it once it leaves our body. It's no good. So, but Jesus' blood is the eternal blood of God. And it never loses power. And because it's eternal, it's spiritual. It's not just physical blood. It's spiritual blood. That means it never dies, wanes off, doesn't weaken. And it's everlasting and ever renewing. So his blood won't run out. Amen. He doesn't come short of what you and I need on a consistent daily basis. Praise God. Now let's look at Romans chapter 3, verse 24 through 26. I'll read now the King James. It says, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Everybody say redemption. Verse 25, listen to this. Whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. Now if you have a Bible you can write in, friends, circle or underline or highlight that phrase. Through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. See, when the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is referring to the law of faith, he is specifically referring to faith in his blood. Faith in the blood of Jesus. Several distinct blessings, ladies and gentlemen, have been procured for us by the power of the blood of Jesus, which are all included in this one word, redemption. Everybody say redemption.
Redemption.
Redemption, that's a powerful word. It's a big umbrella that covers many, many different things. Now, this shedding of blood was all-inclusive and all integral in God's great plan of redemption. Everybody say redemption.
Redemption.
All right. First is reconciliation through the blood. God has set forth Jesus as reconciliation through faith in his blood. See, in our Lord's work of redemption, reconciliation naturally comes first because he had to reconcile not only our sins, but also ourselves. He had to reconcile our people back to him, relationship with him, because we were at odds, we were at distance, we were at variance with God. And so he had to reconcile. That's why it even alludes to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we are in the ministry of reconciliation. That God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. Hallelujah. And so he given us the word of reconciliation, which is, be ye reconciled. So if you're not reconciled with God, friends, then we'll pray with you at the end and give you prayers that will lead you to be reconciled back to God. It's so easy. Amen. Praise God. Secondly, this word redemption also includes cleansing through the blood. We often say, what can wash away our sins? That's the song. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? There's another song that says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their what? Their guilty stain. We get cleansed. And Smith Wigglesworth said it this way. He said, there's nothing in me that the blood can't cleanse. You might have a habit, an addiction, friends. You might have something that really is a strong vice grip on your life, a vice that's vexing to you. And you say, I have this evil tendency that's at work in my flesh or in my soul area, my mind, will, and emotion. And so you have these evil tendencies. So perhaps, but there's nothing in you that the blood can't cleanse. There's nothing that gets in you that happens to you that the blood can't cure.
Amen.
Or correct or change. Thank God for the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Number three, third, sanctification through the blood. That means we've been made holy. We've been set apart for God for meaningful life purposes. Meaningful life. That means our life has meaning now. Why? Because we've been sanctified by the blood.
Amen.
We don't just have an aimless existence. We're not walking around with a, like proverbial, like they said, chicken with his head cut off, not knowing which way to go and what to do. We've been sanctified. Number fourthly, victory over Satan through the blood. Victory over Satan. Over that cross puts up a permanent barrier against the world, against the enemy, against demons, devils, and all their cohorts. And it pushes them back and keeps them back. And then number fifthly, life through the blood. See, it's eternal lifeblood. It is blood that never dies, never dims, never darkens, never destroys, never diseases. So that blood can give you life. Ezekiel 16:6, where he saw the man walking polluted in his own blood, he said, live. The blood can make what's dead in your life, what has died off in your life, live again. We have life through the blood.
Amen.
See, these are separate blessings, but also included in one sentence. Redemption by the blood. Everybody say, I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
And it's a great importance also that as a believer that we have received reconciliation to obtain a deeper and more spiritual conception of its meaning and blessedness. So we just don't stop and say, well, my sins are forgiven. We don't stop there. No, we begin to declare each and every day, I am redeemed by the blood. There's nothing in me that the blood can't cleanse. Amen. We sling blood, we plead blood every day and in every way. Amen? We need to get back to that. Praise God. Andrew Murray said in his book, The Power of the Blood of Jesus, this is what he said. Listen, by faith, but faith is largely dependent on knowledge. We often say faith is based on knowledge. Where knowledge stops, faith stops. We're talking about revelation knowledge. We're not talking about just information, but revelation. And so, if knowledge does not, of what the blood can accomplish, is not accurate, this is what Andrew Murray said, or is imperfect, faith expects little. So, and again, when we approach the communion table, sometimes we don't have sufficient knowledge or understanding or concept of what the blood is, and so our faith expectancy of anything happening good to me or anything being renewed and restored to me because of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus, I don't receive it because I have little faith for it. My expectation is little. Amen. And he said the more powerful effects of the blood are impossible. See, when we find, this is Andrew Murray again, said, when we find and go through the scriptures on the blood of Jesus, it can produce greater results than what we have yet known. Is there more to know? Is there more to grow in the blood of Jesus? Certainly. Faith in the blood can produce greater results. Many Christians think that if now, through faith in the blood, they have received the assurance of pardon of their sins, they have a sufficient knowledge of his effects. He goes on to say, our faith must be strengthened by noticing what the blood has already accomplished. Heaven and hell bear witness to that. Faith will grow by exercising confidence in the fathomless fullness of the promises of God. And so faith, as we said before, in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has eternal and powerful effects in three places. In three places. Number one, in heaven. Everybody say in heaven.
In heaven.
So what does it do for us in heaven? It obtained eternal redemption for us. That means everlasting. That means it's permanent. It's unchangeable. Now, this covenant is not something that can be nullified, voided out, or made of no effect or invalid. It's eternal. Listen to Hebrews 9, 11 through 14. But Christ came as a high priest, there it is, of good things to come, and with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, not that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? See, in heaven it also ratifies and establishes and makes valid the everlasting covenant with God. See, God cut a covenant with Jesus, and because we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, we partake of the same covenant because we're joint heirs or co-equal heirs with Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we get involved and we get included in that covenant between our Lord and our Father God. Because he said, all things that I have are yours. Amen.
Amen.
So what belongs to Jesus belongs to us. We should rejoice on that. Hallelujah. Number two, the blood of Jesus has powerful and eternal effect in our hearts. In heaven and in our heart. It reconciles our relationship and favor with God and restores our fellowship with God. There's no such thing that's a legitimate dead religion. Christianity is typically a relationship between God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and with one another. Amen? So that relationship is restored. It is firm to firm, spiritually speaking. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through 23, it says it this way. This is the covenant I will make with them in those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And in their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Thank you.
Because like we said before, sin breaks fellowship. But through the blood of Jesus, fellowship has been restored. See, God didn't want to just beat us up for our sins. He had great patience and great love and great endurance for us missing the mark. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But why did he want to get rid of our sins? That was part of the deal. He wanted to get back in fellowship with you and me. He wanted to have a family he could fellowship with. Verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20, by a new and living way by which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith. There it is. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That's the blood application there. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Now Colossians 1:20 says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him. Whether things on earth or things in heaven. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. What a powerful scripture. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We've been reconciled to God. In our hearts, you have peace with God. It's just not when, you know, sometimes people say, well, when you're getting ready to die, make peace with God. And some people religiously kind of retort that. But really, your peace with God has been already made by and through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, to cancel and the penalty of our sins, to remove the guilt of our sins and our sins consciousness, God has made peace through us and gave us redemption. He made us righteous new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, the righteousness of God means God's standard of righteousness. That means we can boldly come to his presence without any sense of guilt, fear, condemnation, or inferiority. Our hearts are not condemned. So we don't go around labeling ourselves as just old sinners. Or even putting a tagline on it and saying, we're just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're no longer a sinner. You're a saint. You're a son and daughter of God. Because of the blood, what the blood has done. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Number 3, the blood of Jesus has powerful and eternal effect against hell, the power and works of Satan, and other demons, what other demons try to do to us. Galatians 6:14 again says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, on whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now you got to see the powerful impact of this statement. I have what? I don't want to know anything except the cross. Because Paul was identifying himself when they asked him for his identification. He would say, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, you and I should say the same thing. We have been crucified with Christ. I don't want to know anything except Christ and him crucified. the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, who I've been crucified to me, and the world is also. That means this. Pastor Tracy says, my only boast is in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, our Messiah. In him I have been crucified to this natural realm. And in the natural realm, it's dead to me. You know, there's one famous person on the famous TV show, a live show that he talks to people. He said, you're dead to me. Well, we got to say that about the world. The world is dead to us and no longer dominates my life. So we don't talk about what the world is doing, what the wicked people are doing. We're talking about what the Lord has done. Amen. What the Lord has done. Listen to Isaac Bruce translation. For far be it from me to boast about anything except the cross of our head, Jesus Christ. That cross forms a permanent barrier to erect a fence between the world and me, and between me and the world. Friends, you and I win against sin. You and I win against Satan. You and I win against sickness. There's no doubt about it. When you face the squared arena, when sin or sickness or Satan comes in and tries to encroach your territory, your body, perhaps, you say, we win. We're not talking about wondering about how the outcome of this thing is going to happen. Because of the cross and because of the blood, we win. We win against sin, sickness, Satan, shame, and sorrow because of the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. See, to enjoy the full blessings and benefits, friends, of our redemption in Christ, you need to have faith in the blood of Jesus. What does that represent, friends? Again, it's what Jesus has accomplished. It's what Jesus has already done. It was Jesus already paid the price in full for. That means you don't have to work for it and earn it or try to conquer it yourself or try to be self-righteous. It's the blood that makes us worthy. It's the blood that makes us righteous. It's the blood that gives us the victory over death, hell, and the grave. It's the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
The blood alone of Jesus alone has done everything. That's why Paul said, I want to remember the cross. I want to remember what the blood has done.
Amen.
Because the blood of Jesus has done everything. See, we honor the blood when we take communion. By boldly confessing before God that it cleanses us from all sin. There's nothing in us. There's nothing in me that the blood can't cleanse. There's nothing in us that the blood can't cure. There's nothing that happens to me. Nothing too deep, too dark, too damaging can happen to you that the cross and the blood can't correct.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We honor the blood of Jesus Christ when we confess this. We confess that it cleanses us from all sin. And that we say its forms and its manifestations. Because see, sometimes the manifestation of sin could manifest as sickness. The manifestation of sin could manifest as shame. It could manifest as sorrow. It could manifest as satanic oppression in our lives. Where we're walking around depressed and discouraged and feeling like we're dejected by everything and everyone in life. But we honor the blood when we take the communion elements and say, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? This can make me whole. This is renewing my eternal life policy. This is restoring me in my everlasting covenant with my Lord Jesus Christ and with my Father God. So we don't walk out dejected with a low self-esteem and thinking, I'm just so unworthy. I've just been so evil. I've just been so bad. You can't sin bad enough that the blood can't touch you. The blood can't get to you. The blood can't turn things around. Glory to God. See, when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven with his blood and the Holy Let me say this. When we honor the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will go to her. So we're talking about having the communion really means something to us. Because it has powerful effect in heaven, in your heart, and against hell, and all it tries to do against you, meaning the devil. So when we honor the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit goes to work. Because we said it before, where the blood flows, the Holy Spirit goes.
Amen.
You want the Holy Spirit to flow and go in your house, then you need to put the blood in and over your house. See, when the blood of Jesus flows, the Holy Spirit goes. We honor the blood, the Holy Spirit works.
Amen.
Because Jesus even said in John chapter 15 that the Holy Spirit will glorify me. Well, you honor and glorify Jesus by honoring the blood. See, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven with his blood, but the Holy Spirit descended from heaven into our hearts to regenerate us, to wash us, to clean us with that precious blood and make us brand new creations in Christ Jesus, and to work effectually in our lives to show us the everlasting covenant and to help us partake of our rights, our privileges, and our blessings and benefits that come by the blood. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, he will take what's mine and show it unto you. In other words, the Holy Spirit wants to be in the show business. I know we all have different types of subscriptions to TV and to internet services and Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and all that kind of stuff. And they have good, decent movies, and sometimes the movies aren't decent. But praise God, but the Holy Spirit has the best movies he wants to show you. He's in the show business. He wants to show you who you are. He wants to show you what you have. He wants to show you what can belong to you as a benefit and a blessing because of what Jesus has done.
Amen.
So we'll read Acts chapter 1 and conclude this part 1 with this ascension. And we'll conclude this. We'll talk more about his role as a high priest and a mediator in our next lessons. But Acts chapter 1, verse 1, I'm going to read down to King James. It said, O former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, under the day in which he was taken up. Everybody say taken up.
Amen.
That means he was ascended after he had, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passions by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together and asked of him, saying, Lord, when wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, they went up, and behold, two men stood by him in white apparel. When he said to them, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now another account is in Luke chapter 24, verse 50 through 51. And he led them as far out as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now let me reread verse 9 and 11 again. Now when Jesus had spoken these things, he had watched, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Everybody say, Jesus is coming back soon.
Jesus is coming back
soon. But he's ascended. Like I said, he's in full-time ministry today. What is Jesus' ministry? Well, we'll get more into that later this week. But let's conclude with this thought. Christ's work in redemption rests primarily on four pillars of truth. Four pillars of truth. Number one is incarnation. Jesus came. He came as Emmanuel. God manifested in the flesh. Praise God. That through that immaculate conception, that miracle of the virgin birth through Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost, and he was the Son of the living God. Amen. He was 100% man, but he was also 100% God. Praise God. He was a God man. And so he was his incarnation. And then number two, his crucifixion on the cross. These are the pillars of truth that we need to embrace. Jesus came. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus rose again. His resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He didn't die and stay dead, but he's alive. After many passions, the scripture says. And then number four, his ascension. So now we're getting into what is he ascending to do. The ascension was the exclamation point, I suggest to you. Completely and finally demonstrating that his atonement had forever solved the problem that sin created. Because there was an original sin, but Jesus restored us back to the original glory with our Father. Through his act, his death, burial, and resurrection. Praise God.
Praise God.
And ascension. Praise God. So as we get ready to take communion, let's review this scripture again into our hearts as we get ready to partake of the communion elements. Get your bread and get your juice out. In Hebrews 9:15 it says, and this reads, for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant. Jesus is alive, friends.
Amen.
He's mediating that covenant. And when covenant agreement has been made, it cannot be broken. And he's agreed and he's sanctioned the forgiveness of our sins and the remission of our sins, which means the cancellation of penalty, the removal of guilt, and the stain of sin consciousness.
Amen.
So you should receive a righteousness consciousness. Why? Right now, because he said the media of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, to that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You don't have to wait to get it. You can believe and receive it today. Amen?
Amen.
The Passion translates this, so Jesus is the one who has enacted a new covenant with new relationship with God, so that those who accept the invitation will receive eternal inheritance he has promised to his heirs. For he died to release us from the guilt of the violations committed under the first covenant. Praise God. So if you're out there and you say, well, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I feel like I've been long distance or far away from God in my life. I don't think I'm restored to God. Well, you can get restored today. You can receive Jesus today as your Lord and personal Savior. So let's pray. Bow your head wherever you are, wherever you're listening from, wherever you're watching from. Bow your heads and bow your hearts and say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior.
I thank you
for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins on the cross. He died for me. He was buried. And you raised him from the dead. I believe it. And I receive it now. I repent of sin.
I renounce Satan,
and I receive Jesus as my Lord,
as my Lord
and my personal Savior.
And my personal Savior.
My sins are gone.
My sins are gone.
I am forgiven and cleansed.
I am forgiven and cleansed.
I am the righteousness of God,
I am the righteousness of
in,
God.
Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
I thank you that I'm saved, Lord.
I thank you that I'm saved.
I'm washed clean.
I'm
a child of God.
I am
born again.
Thank you, Lord,
for saving me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, if you pray that prayer, you can send us a note. We want to rejoice with you. We want to bless you with some material. If we can get it to you, send us your information. You can text it to 210-941-3322. 210-941-3322. Text us your testimony. Tell us what happened to you. You can also send us an email at connect@twcc-sa.org. So you can send us an email and just let us know what the Lord has done for you. Now, you ready to receive communion?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, this is my body, which was broken for you. And take, eat. And we don't just do it religiously or out of tradition. We do it knowing that everything that he took and was broken in his body doesn't have to be broken in our body. Amen. So receive your healing, receive your mental health, your physical health, and your spiritual health right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Your family peace, your financial health, all that's broken is to be healed. Hallelujah. Now take the cup. Say this after me. Say, God is on my side.
God is on my side.
For the blood has been applied.
For the blood has been applied.
Every need shall be supplied.
Every need shall be supplied.
Nothing shall be denied.
Nothing shall be denied.
So I enter into rest.
So I enter into rest.
I know that I'm blessed.
I know that I'm blessed.
And I will pass the test.
I will pass the test.
And I will get God's very best.
I will get God's very best.
Everybody say, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Is purging me.
Is purging me.
And cleansing me.
And cleansing me.
From any.
And
all defilements
of the enemy.
The blood of Jesus,
Is
sanctifying me
and my family
to the perfect will of God
every day
and in every way,
spiritually,
mentally,
emotionally,
relationally,
socially,
physically,
and financially,
in Jesus' name.
The blood of Jesus
is perfecting that
and completing that
which concerns me.
It is my divine covering,
my protection,
and my provision.
And I receive the power,
the full power
of the blood of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you can just begin to thank him for the blood. Thank him for the blood. Thank him for that his blood will never lose its power. Magnify the blood. Come on, honor the blood. Thank him. Thank him. There's nothing in us that the blood can't clean, the blood can't cure. It's going to be a blood-blessed week for you, my friends, because the blood has been applied. Hallelujah. Every need will be met with heaven's best because of the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So be blessed this week. Join us tomorrow night at 6:00 and or Wednesday night at 6:30 for Facebook Live. We'll continue in this theme, and we look forward to seeing you. God bless you. We love you so much, and bye-bye.